Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. And by AgriGold Hybrids. As an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listing area, AgriGold, the corn specialist, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. What was the down week in the bean market? Consolidation or a glimpse of the future? And what about the December corn futures? Might they penetrate the 269 contract high? Makes you go, We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Iowa State ag economist Bob Wisner. Our panelists today are Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain out of Windsor, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana, and Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities out of Champaign, Illinois. Let's open today's discussion with this question. Does anybody think corn has the power behind it at the moment to make new contract highs next week, or if not then, prior to the planting season? Clayton Pope, we'll start with you.
Yeah, that's not that far away. I don't think it'd be surprising the way the thing had so much power on Friday. Funds are showing very clearly that they have kind of an insatiable appetite for anything energy-related at all, and probably have room to buy some more here.
Matt Bennett?
Yeah, the way this market has gone up, I think it's pretty tough to argue against anything. Anything can happen at this point. I think the funds have such a, you know, a big pocketbook that who knows what's going to happen. Yeah, I think there's a lot of uncertainties out there. It's a big carryout. We're talking about huge demand. I don't know. Flat out, the funds want to buy corn. So if they're going to keep buying corn, it's going to keep going. So I think before planting, for sure, we got a really good shot at it.
And Wayne Nelson.
Well, the talk of China halting exports here seemed to be the main thing that drove things today. But, you know, I've heard that story before, and in 2 months they were back in the market and exporting again. So I don't really trust them as far as that goes. But as far as the short term, I remember last Friday, things closed very strong, just like today at a little lower levels. Remember what happened on Tuesday and Wednesday? It sort of leaves you a little bit skeptical as to what might happen next week. You have to say the way we closed and into the new levels and through new highs for the move, though, that it looked very strong on the close.
In fact, corn futures for this week, the March contract had a high of 228, the low at 219.5, their settlement price at $2.27¾. They were up a penny and a quarter from last week. The December futures at 264.5 were up 2.5 cents. Normally, we'd wait until the end, second half of the program to bring Bob Wisner of Iowa State into this conversation. I'd like to do things just a bit differently today and have Bob with us the whole way through and maybe have a bit of an easier conversation simply because the market seems to be pretty unique at this point in the lifetime of commodity trading in Chicago. Bob, why don't you answer the first question for us as well? You think December futures can penetrate 270?
Looks like they're poised to do that. The fundamentals have been reinforcing that. We had a good export sales figure today, 1.5 million metric tons on corn, well above last year. Market, I think, is still reacting to the USDA's projected 34% increase in corn processing for ethanol next season, and there's continuing concern about the Argentine corn crop and hurt by dry weather earlier, and then the 7% increase in cattle on feed report today. All of those are positive, and I think probably would support some additional fund activity there. And I wouldn't be surprised to see us move up to new contract highs on the December.
Bob, it seems clear to me that an awful lot of this is kind of based on energy and crude oil prices and so forth. I mean, there's no accident that bean oil is outpacing meal so well on the upside and corn sort of the darling in the grain floor too. There's so much question, it seems like, in terms of just how fast this ethanol usage number can grow. What do you think the top end would be, let's say, for like each of the next two crop years?
Well, for the year ahead, and that's where I'm going to focus on most, I'm inclined to think that USDA is pretty close to the top end with that 34% increase or possibly even a little above what we should realistically expect. Looks like a sizable number of those new plants and added capacity will be coming on. midway to maybe two-thirds of the way through the next marketing year. And if things go extremely well in the construction and they come online earlier than I think they will, then maybe we'll hit that 34%. But I'd be reluctant to go any higher than that. The following year, I don't have a good read on that. ADM is planning some large expansions in eastern Iowa processing plants. I'm not sure if those would be, I think they probably will be online the following year. And Cargill is making some plans for expansions as well. I think the Cargill plants probably will be on stream before the ADM expansions. But it certainly looks like the next couple of years we're going to be in for a strong expansion in ethanol production.
And Bob, since we're on the discussion of ethanol, the last time you were on this program, you made some comments that our listeners weren't particularly happy about, and I heard about a couple of different times, on the economics of using ethanol as a fuel. Did the President's State of the Union speech change your mind at all?
No, it didn't, and I'm not sure exactly what I said that that caused you some concern, but we've been looking at the question of will our processing capacity outpace the corn supply? And the answer that we come up with here is there is that risk if we don't get more corn acres or see an accelerated increase in corn yields from the long-term trend of the last 20 years. I think we'll see more corn acreage coming in to support those plants. And the big question then is where will that acreage come from? I think probably in the heart of the Corn Belt, we'll see fewer soybean acres and more corn. Not this year. It'll be the other way around this year, I believe. But look out ahead 2, 3, 4 years, and I would expect there will be a shift to corn. We'll have some CRP land coming back into production, but that's only a small part of the additional supply that we need, and productivity on that land is limited. Also, it's not going to be suitable for continuous corn.
Matt, down at the elevators, what's the basis look like given the Friday 5-cent jump in the corn market? And I guess it's been awful sloppy. It hasn't been following the Board of Trade particularly well. How do you see it playing out as we go into the next month or so?
Well, it's been interesting. The basis hasn't crashed like, you know, you would think that maybe it would. I mean, ADM's indicator, which is where we haul most of our corn, has been, we've had lines, you know, and they've had plenty of corn, I think, coming in, but we haven't seen the basis crash like we would think that it would. So I guess I don't see it falling apart anytime soon. You know, I guess my question is, while we're talking about acreage, though, if I can transition into that, you know, where I'm at, I guess south of Route 16, I hear a lot of guys talking about, well, they can't do corn on corn. Maybe they got burned on it last year. They can't justify the higher input prices. Bob, when you look at, a lot of people are talking about maybe a reduction in corn acreage. I know last time I was on here, we were talking about Iowa being, you know, maybe the same or a little bit more. What do you look for as far as an acreage number, you know, both on corn and soybeans?
I'm thinking on the corn, probably 1.5 million or so down from last year. And on the soybeans, probably 2.5 million or so up. And with the extra bean acres coming partly out of wheat, partly more double cropping because the soft red wheat acreage is up, and some bean acres that didn't get planted in Minnesota and North Dakota that probably will this year. So I'm seeing a very modest shift in the direction of soybeans. Our people here in Iowa in 30 to 35 meetings or so that I've had since late fall, our producers have been telling us for the most part they're not expecting to make any significant adjustment in the crop rotations this year. But we do have some pockets where cash flow is tight, where I think we will see some increase in bean acres in the state. Most of the changes I think will be in probably in the eastern Corn Belt, maybe a little bit in those areas where you had drought and cash flow is tight, and in western irrigated areas where higher energy costs are hitting irrigation along with the fertilizer. But I think the big adjustment is likely to be less nitrogen put on the corn, probably less P and K, but we've nitrogen we see as the critical one, and our plant nutrient people tell us that there is some opportunity to cut back some there without significant risk to the yields.
And to follow that up real quick, you know, say we come in here with a couple million less acres and then we have some weather problems. You know, as you said, we're going to need more corn acres in the future to be able to satisfy our ethanol. You know, what kind of corn prices are we going to have to be looking at if you would hold maybe our input prices constant to get maybe some of those acres this year that don't go into corn, maybe, you know, to push 2, 3, 4 million acres more corn for 07?
Well, that's going to hinge pretty heavily on fertilizer prices, natural gas prices, and the infrastructure was disrupted by hurricanes last fall, which gave us a very sharp run-up in natural gas, and since then, natural gas prices have dropped off about 50% from the peak. I guess at this stage, for planning purposes, I would plan probably on a little lower nitrogen cost than we've been looking at recently. No guarantees on that, obviously. What kind of price will it take? It's the real key is the corn versus the soybeans. I would hesitate to give you a specific price, but I would see corn pulling ahead of soybeans as we look into the 07 crop and beyond.
Matt's an eternal optimist. He's hoping that everybody else has a crop failure, and he's the one who has a crop left
out in
his field, like most other farmers. Okay, tell me across the board what everybody's working with acreage. We already know what Bob is working with. How about you, Wayne?
Well, I have to agree with the government about the 1.3 cutback in corn. I think a lot of people talk to bigger cutback, but when it comes time, that's going to be about what's going to be.
Matt?
I guess I'd agree with Wayne. You know, I talk to a lot of guys that say, well, I want to plant more bean acres. And then we get to talking about it, and we look at the price of corn right now, and we look at the price of beans. And, you know, I think there's still some people are saying there's still upside potential in corn. If we have weather problems this summer, you know, it's possible given the demand. So I caution guys to switch too much over to beans.
And Clayton?
Yeah, it seems to me like the 1.5 to 2 million acre switch is probably pretty much.
Okay, what are you looking at for carryout? Not this year, but the following year.
Well, I'd say 1.6 to 1.8, something along those lines. You know, given a trend line yield, but acreage is a huge question when you go out that far. I mean, that's an awful long ways out there to depend on very much. But it certainly we would have to have a real yield problem, I think, to get the carryover down to anything that we would consider historically tight, I'd think.
Well, I agree with that. I think a lot of it depends upon the acreage, of course. If we, you know, if we have, you know, 2 or more million acres less, and then we you know, we drop our yield 5-10%, it would make a significant change. But I know, you know, with people talking about the new hybrids, have changed our corn yields. I think that we're still vulnerable to some sort of a weather problem, even though we have better technology. So I think it all depends upon the weather and the acreage. But I have a hard time seeing us go below 1.5.
Bob, you know, when you talk about a decrease in acreage, it always depends sort of where those acres come from.
Right.
And I'm wondering, over the last couple of years, over the last 2 years, in fact, we've had, I think, what, a 4 million acre increase in corn. And I don't recall where most of those acres came from.
Many of them were in Illinois and Iowa.
Yeah, Illinois and Iowa. I was thinking, and are we not likely to lose those acres in Illinois and Iowa? And if we, where do you think we'll lose them? Where are they going to come from?
Well, I think we'll lose a few. Our people in eastern Iowa, where there were drought problems, are telling us they're thinking about going heavier on soybeans this year. I think for cash flow reasons. And again, as you look at the irrigated areas and the cost of pumping water and how that's gone up with the energy cost, plus the fertilizer on top of it, I think we may see a little shift into beans there. Not in a big way, but a little bit. And the beans don't require as much water as the corn. But so we're not talking about large shifts here. I'm pretty much in agreement with the other three people.
Yeah, but if you're at 1.2 and you're talking about coming out of eastern Iowa and the irrigated areas, that's pretty good corn producing areas, then, isn't it?
That's pretty good corn producing areas, right? And which compared with say coming out of
They're laughing at me. Of course it's good for corn-producing areas, but I want to know how much, if you do that, what kind of an impact does it have on total yield?
Well, you're dividing that production by fewer acres. I don't see that as having a big impact on the yield. I would use a little less than a trend line yield because of probably lower fertilizer application, almost certainly lower fertilizer application this year. But I'm thinking maybe a bushel or so below trend given reasonably normal weather.
Bob, just one quick question here. Let's just say we have trend line yields.
Okay.
We go along. The weather problem is not bad. We have just an average year. What do you think Dease corn price will be this fall at harvest?
I would expect it to be down in the 210, 220 area. Now, if you look historically, and by that I mean the last 20 or 30 years, you will see that there's been a strong tendency of both December corn and November beans to build a risk premium into the market during late winter and spring. Every year we go through sort of a cycle here where people worry about the weather and acreage and so forth, and it's reflected in prices. And so this would be following that kind of pattern, but with more of a decrease than a long-term average, because I think some weather risk premium is built into the market currently.
Well, along those lines, just how concerned are people in your area about the subsoil moisture level right now? I know in Illinois I just hear about it constantly, about how extremely dry it is. Do you think that is a valid reason for concern here?
Well, that's certainly a concern in your area, and especially in east central and southeastern Iowa, and to some extent in south central Iowa. You get into the northern half of the state, and soil moisture is really quite good. In fact, in some areas, probably a little bit on the excessive side. So in there, from there north into Minnesota, Minnesota is excessive on soil moisture in a lot of areas. So it's we've got an area that's basically, as I look at the maps, about the northern half of Illinois, and then cutting across diagonally through east central and southeastern Iowa and a large chunk of southern Iowa. The National Weather Service forecasts indicate that Illinois, eastern Iowa drought may be receding a bit into May, but that it may just be moving west and intensifying a bit in southwestern Iowa and on into parts of Nebraska.
And let me ask each of you then the same question that Wayne just asked. And Wayne, we'll start with you. What do you think if we have normal yields, trend line yield, and normal weather, what will we be looking at for December corn futures at harvest?
Well, I have to agree with Bob. I'm thinking the 210 to 220 area like that. And I'm going to throw in something else right quick. Elwin Taylor, a climatologist from Iowa there, I heard this week in a seminar was talking about he was still looking at his forecasts and was predicting trend line yields. Is that what you're hearing, Bob?
It's been two or three weeks since I've been with Elwin. The last I heard, he was a little below trend, but I know he monitors subsoil moisture quite closely and has been telling people that it's probably better than they think, at least in Iowa.
Yeah, I think if we're at trend line yields, it's pretty tough to argue that we'll be able to be any over, you know, the 220 area. You know, I would probably call for 210 to 220 corn. I think there's a lot of uncertainty right now, but the most uncertainty is maybe a little bit on acreage, a lot on weather.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big assumption, trend line yield. Obviously, that's kind of what it all boils down to. But if that comes to be, I don't know, the carryover next year, we've kind of agreed, is going to be significantly less than it is currently. So I certainly think we'd get below 230. And beyond that, I think it would depend a lot on currency relationships, you know, what the outside markets like metals and energies and so forth.
Okay, everybody's in agreement, 210 to upside on 230 in the Dease corn. So here's my question then. At those prices, you're not looking at an LDP. Is that right? So what do you do now if you're thinking that way?
Well, I think that as we look here, that we ought to be looking at using some put options in the 260 range like that. I know that we bought some 260 puts and sold some 3 or 310 corn calls one-to-one or one-to-two against those, just figuring that even with some bad weather, we probably weren't going to go a lot over $3 or $3.10.
Bob?
I think a combination of some forward contracts and some put options, and how heavily you go in the put options depends on what's your subsoil moisture situation, what's your financial position, your break-even prices. But I like the options in a year like this when there's a lot of uncertainty yet on the weather, and it leaves some upside flexibility.
And how do you play the RMA for your crop insurance?
Oh, the numbers I've been cranking through would suggest, at least for Iowa, CRC looks preferable on both corn and beans to the yield insurance. It's based on where I think the February average prices will come out.
Other options people have for what to do with their market opportunities here if you're looking at 210 to 230?
Well, I think the idea went through that. It's hard to argue with that. I guess the main point I'd like to caution our listeners about is that whatever strategy you go into, I think you've really got to put a pencil to, you know, just how much heat you can take, because I think the cardinal sin to commit right now would be to put yourself in a position where, say, you're locking in a good price right now, but corn rallies 10 cents and you're squeezed out. You've got to get out for margin reasons, and now you've locked in a 10-cent loss. You just really got to think ahead and make sure you've got adequate capital to embark on whatever plan you decide on.
Wheat futures, March contract this week at a high of 377, a low at 362. Their settlement price at 368 and a quarter. They were up a quarter from last week. July wheat at 389 and three quarters, unchanged on the week. And the March oats at 189 and a half were down 2.5. Bob, what do you make of the soft red winter wheat market?
Well, soft red winter wheat market is being held back some versus Kansas City and Minneapolis, and that's because of generally good crop conditions, and also very weak export demand.
All right, soy complex now. Bean futures, March contract, a 601 high this week, the low at 570.5. March beans, 577.25. They were off 24 cents from last week. November beans at 614 were down 15.5. We'll go back with the same question that Wayne brought up for the December contract in the corn, except that we'll move it for the beans. And we'll start with you, Wayne. If we have trend line yields, and what will we be looking at in November for beans?
We're probably going to be 525 to 535.
Matt?
Yeah, I'd say at the high end. I have a hard time being, in any case, bullish on beans. I guess a lot of it just depends on when the South American farmer and when the U.S. farmer with the big carryouts decide to sell their crop.
And Clayton?
Yeah, I think the downside could be easily below $5. It could get a lot uglier than people even imagine right now, if you ask me, just because at some point this carryover is going to have to matter.
And Bob?
I would agree. I think fundamentals ultimately will win out against the funds. And I would see probably down in the 515 area or so on November beans. I'd say 515, 530 if we've got decent yields.
Will the funds take their losses and liquidate, or will they simply keep rolling forward? And how does that play the market out?
Well, I think they'll keep rolling forward, but the real key is we're looking at a 550 million bushel plus carryover August 31st, and prospects that carryover may even grow in the coming year. We get to the end of the marketing year, someone has to store that grain. So there's the physical issue there, and the basis and delivery mechanism that I believe will begin to bring that market back to the fundamentals. And some of those fundamentals, of course, there's the bird flu issue. That's a big question mark on how serious that is. I've just returned from Brazil, and from what I saw down there and from reports from trade people, it looks like it's going to be a record crop. At least in line with USDA numbers.
Record at 58 million metric tons?
Yes.
Okay.
And Argentina has had some rain this week, which should help their crop. So we've got those fundamentals. We've got lagging export sales running, 24% under last year, season to date. And you put that all together, and those are strong indicators of downside risk in the bean market. And the market's beginning to reflect that a little bit.
Bob, one question I'd like to ask you. It looks like Japan is buying a lot more. Here, we've heard the argument they're just front-loading. They're buying before any weather possibly happens, whether it does or doesn't, but they're not planning on buying any more than other years, and other people wanting to project it into a lot bigger exports for the year. What do you think?
You're speaking beans here?
I was talking about corn.
Oh, on corn? I wouldn't be surprised what they'll take a bit more corn than they did last season from the U.S., and the reason being that Argentine corn crop. All indications are that it will be down. We don't know just how much yet, but that means less competition out of that source. Also, decline in the South African crop. Big question mark is China. They're very hard to assess. For 10 years now, we've been hearing that they're just on the verge of becoming a corn importer, and so far it hasn't happened. But
USDA said the last time around it's going to happen.
They said that a year ago. I believe they were projecting within the next couple of years that it would happen. And I think if you go back, actually, if you look at their 10-year model over the last 5 or 6 years, it has been saying that consistently, and it hasn't happened. So who knows?
I guess the one thing I'd bring up is a second ago, Todd, you were talking about the funds carrying their long positions forward. I think you were talking about beans.
Yeah.
The commitment of traders report that came out Friday afternoon, I mean, beans are only, funds are only long like 10 or 15,000 as far as the commodity funds. Now, the index funds, like we've talked about before in this program, who the heck knows? You know, the way they're classified as a commercial on the commitment of traders report, I don't think anybody knows and we never will know, really, just what the funds positions are. But right now, given the data we have in front of us, they're really not long beans to any significant degree. And, you know, God help this market if they decide to get aggressively short.
What do you think carryout's going to be next for the following year for beans? How big?
Oh, boy, it's between 600 and 700, I guess I'd say, shooting from the hip.
Everybody in that range? Bob, you too? 600 to 700?
That would be in my range, yes.
And what are your predictions for price then?
I'm projecting out at about 580 for next season with trend yields. The 600 to 700 would be with a 42.5 bushel U.S. soybean yield, which... I would put a little above trend, but with a with a carryover approaching 600 million, I've got a U.S. average price of about 505.
Bob, if you had one word of advice for the farmers now, what should they be doing marketing-wise?
Make it short.
I think it's the time to be marketing new crop beans and moving some additional old crop on rallies.
Bob Wisner is with Iowa State, where he's an ag economist. We'll get a final word in from our analyst. We'll start with you, Wayne Nelson.
Well, we had quite a day on Friday here this week. We saw the corn market go to new highs. We've got talk of going to new highs in the East corn market. And yet we heard that we'd be 50 cents below this here come this fall with average yields. So, but I think the funds are a big force, and we're just not sure what they're going to do.
Matt?
I kind of agree with Clayton. I'd like to see guys, you know, if they're going to take a position, do something they can stomach. Go ahead and take advantage of some of these higher prices, though, and get some stuff sold.
Clayton?
I think a lot of people are intimidated by this corn market right now, and probably with good reason. But, boy, I would not turn your back on it. These are phenomenal prices to be protecting, in my opinion. But like we just agreed on, you got to be careful.
Clayton Pope, Matt Bennett, and Wayne Nelson, thanks much for joining us here on Commodity Week. Agricultural information made possible with support from ADM. Working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for his crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. And by AgriGold Hybrids as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. I'm Todd Gleason.